chapter 16, verses 7 through 11. Timeless truth. Timeless truth. The time that we live in, you know, it's always been a hard time to live. I mean, in this old world, it's always been problems and difficulties and trials in all ages and in all generations. It seems like we're headed into more problems than we have ever headed before, and I know in my lifetime. But you see, there's one great problem that we need to understand, and that is through the Word of God and the Spirit of God, that mankind is a sinner. Did you know a lot of people do not understand that they are sinners? I believe if more people knew that they were sinners, our church would be full this morning. They just don't understand the nature of mankind. I know whenever I was lost, about 30-something years old, you know, I thought I was doing a very good job. I thought I was the best husband in the world. Joyce would say amen to that. And I thought I paid my bills, and I thought I was just a good old guy, you know, one of the good old boys. And I worked hard. I thought I considered myself working hard and worked regular. And I just thought I had to make a living. But whenever Jesus Christ, by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, touched my heart, let me know that, you know, it wasn't about the living, it was about the life. I did not know. I was blind and I was ignorant to the fact that if I would have died in my condition at that time, I would have went to a place called hell that God made for the devil and his angels. I did not know that I was lost. I believe there was a God. I believe there was Jesus Christ. I heard about him all my life. I believed in Jesus Christ. I believe he was the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believed everything that you could believe about Jesus Christ. I had a head knowledge of it. I had never accepted Jesus Christ in my heart. I was not aware that I was a sinner as I was. I thought I was a good person. Oh, I know I had faults. I know that I had errors. I know that I had lied before. I know that I had stole. Does anybody in here have not stole something or either told a lie? You kids, don't look at this, but you parents. Everyone in here, I can assure you, has stole something. And everybody in here I know has told at least one lie. Is that correct? Am I correct this morning? Kids, don't look at your mother and father. But I tell you what, we all have that nature, and I tell you, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and I realize that. But my problem was like a lot of problems today with people. Just because that I have maybe stole a nickel from my mother's dresser, and maybe I have told one little lie, God would not send me to hell for that. If he did, at my calculation of God and knowledge of God, he would be an unjust God, because to my knowledge and my understanding as a lost person, it would be like sending a man to penitentiary for life for stealing one loaf of bread. See, it was the penalty was too great for what he had done. And so people today, they know that they're sinners. I mean, everybody understand, they knew. You here this morning and you're lost, you understand that you at least told one lie. You here this morning, you're lost, and you understand maybe that you have stole something in your time. You've told some type of a falsehood. You realize that. But now, would you go to hell for that? I mean, you try to be a good person. Now listen to me, that's where a majority of the people is at today. They think they're just good enough that God's going to overlook that small sin that they may thought they have done. I told you Wednesday night, you need to be here on Wednesday night if you can. We have a good time, a good meeting, a good number on Wednesday night. But revival again to this country is going to come through the Word of God. And not only that, the problem of our country, the United States, our church, and our family is going to come through the Word of God. We know that the population is growing at a very rapid pace this day. I think over 7 billion people, last time I saw the research on, over 7 billion people on the face of the earth. And that's why we have such great demand for everything that we consume, our energy, our food, and everything else. It's a global economy of the world, and it's going to get worse. The Bible tells us there's going to be a great starvation in this world. Just a matter of fact, who's going to starve? Whole nation's going to starve. Why? Because the population is growing so fast. But there's one that's not growing very fast, and that is the family of God is not growing very fast, because salvation, you know, is at a decline, even among Baptist churches today. much less all the products we have that's even at a decline, although the rapid rate of population in our country in this world is growing so fast, but we even have a decline in salvation. And one of these things is the Word of God. People do not believe the Word of God. And I dare say today, I want to prove to you that some of you sitting right here today do not believe the Word of God. Now, you believe parts of the Word of God, but do you believe all the Word of God? Now, if you believe all the Word of God, have you ever told a lie since you've been saved? If you have, you know what? You did not trust the Word of God. You did not trust God that He would get you out of that pickle that you was in, so you told a lie to get out of it yourself because you didn't trust that God could get you out of it. Have you ever stole anything? If you did, that's because of unbelief that God could not take care of you, so you stole something. I'm going to get a little ahead of my message, but I want to tell you a little bit deeper this morning. I want to get your attention real well. Did you tithe this morning when you come to church? Did you know the reason people do not tithe is because they do not believe that God can take care of them? Do you believe if you give 10% of all the income of your family that God can take the 90% and go further with it than you can the 100%? And even 15%, and that's before taxes, that's before anything, that God can do it. I've tried it. I know it works. God says, try me, trust me, and I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings too great for you to receive. Talking about tithing and giving. Did you know why people play the lottery? They do not believe that God can take care of their needs and they want a little bit more. Amen. Thank you. Probably every one of us sitting here today has done something, said something, or done something that we did not trust God about. And that's the reason we've done that, because we did not trust God. We're all sitting here this morning guilty. Do I have your attention? Of unbelief. But now the greatest unbelief is not among God's children, but among those that's lost and do not know any better. I hope you get this sermon, and if anybody is lost, you may be able to go with it and give them this sermon. Because it says now in Romans 10 and 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. People try to be righteous. They try to do right. But you do not have any righteousness in yourself. You will not go to heaven without righteousness. But if you go to heaven, it will be on God's righteousness and not on yours. Well, how do you get God's righteousness? By being good and quit doing this and quit doing that and quit telling lies and quit stealing? No. Righteousness is a gift that comes along with salvation. It's Jesus Christ's gift to everybody today. If you're saved here this day, you are a righteous person. But not only that, anybody that goes to heaven is going to go to heaven perfect. You say, well, preacher, you're not perfect. No, I'm not perfect, but I will be when I get there. Because Jesus Christ, the Father looks at me through Jesus Christ, and He does not see all my faults and my errors, my mistakes and my sin, but He sees His Son's blood. He do not look at this old poor man here, made out of clay, still has a fallen nature, still subject to sin. He do not see this. He sees the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And far as God's mind is concerned, I'm already perfect because I'm going to heaven. Oh, you might be proud of yourself, preacher. I'm not proud of myself, but I'm proud of Jesus. And He's the reason that I'm going to heaven. He's the reason that I'm perfect now, not in my sinful condition, but I'm perfect in Jesus Christ. So many people do not understand this today. That is the reason we have a decline in our churches and a decline in baptism, a decline in salvation, because without the Word of God, which is the Bible, and without the Spirit of God, there is no divine revelation to let anybody know what I have just told you. I can tell you the truth, and I'm telling you the truth this morning, but only the Holy Spirit of God can impart that truth to you. Two people here this day, two people lost this day. I'm telling the same truth to both people. Yet there's a person here that closes out the Spirit of God, won't listen, won't heed to the Word of God, and the Spirit of God in the heart. Here's another person that heeds, and that Spirit of God begins to massage the heart to let that person know if you die in your sin, you're going to go to hell, not because what you've done, because of who you are, that you're a lost person, and that Holy Spirit convicts them that they need Jesus Christ. They throw themselves on the mercy of Jesus Christ, and they are saved. Well, the Holy Spirit has went to both people. I've told the truth to both people, but only the Spirit of God can impart the truth to you. I can only teach you, the Holy Spirit shows you. You have to have this Holy Spirit here this day. Now, reading these verses of Scriptures in 16, John chapter 16, verse 7. Jesus talking when he was here on this earth to a multitude of people while he was here, that he must go away. I cannot be in but one place at one time, Jesus Christ is trying to tell them. I can't talk with just one group of people at one time. But whenever I go away, I'm going to send that comforter back. And when that comforter back, he's going to testify of me, and he's going to show you the condition of your heart and then what you have done wrong and how that you are a sinner. Here's what it says in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient. That means it is an advantage for you that I go away. For if I go not away, that Comforter, that Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, listen, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince, the ruler of this world is judged. Let us pray at this time again. Father Jesus, we want to thank you for the power, Lord, that we feel here this day. For the power, Lord, that you promised would be in the midst of your people, where two or more are joined together. For the power, whenever Jesus Christ is lifted up, you said, I will draw all men to me. We want to thank you, Lord, for the reason here today that we might honor you this day. We want to thank you, Lord, for your promise of your precious word of God that Jesus Christ is lifted up in our song service, in our prayer service, in the reading of the precious holy word of God. Father, how we pray that maybe someone here today, that the Holy Spirit by the word of God might enlighten them to understand that they have not been saved and they need to be saved here this day, Father, but not only that, that this message might be carried, Father, to the people, Lord, and where they might be, they might know and understand that they need salvation, and salvation through Jesus Christ is the onlyest way. And Father, we want to thank you for what you're doing in your word, what you're going to do, because you're taking, Father, the word of God through the Holy Spirit of God, and you're revealing Jesus Christ to us today. And we thank you, God, for this message today, and Lord, we just pray, God, that we know that your word will not come back void. It will accomplish what you set it out to do. And we thank you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what we have here this morning in these verses of Scriptures, I want to tell you what we have: God's answer to a man's ignorance. Now, it means that a man can learn this, they just don't know. What is he talking about? He's talking about the things I just told you. Without the Holy Spirit, without the Word of God, you will not know where you're lost or saved. And before anybody can be saved, they must understand they're lost. You cannot tell people the good news that Jesus Christ come to save until you first tell them the bad news that they are lost, doomed, damned, and all the way to a place called hell because they are without Jesus Christ and they are lost. Before the Holy Spirit can ever come in your heart, that Holy Spirit's going to let you know that you are a lost sinner. Nobody is never saved and first they understand that they are lost. That is one of the reasons there are not more salvations today, because people do not understand. The devil do not want them to understand. They want them to think that they're just a good father, a good mother, a good person. Are they doing the very best they can? And a good old God will not send anybody to hell. God never sends anybody to hell. You send yourself to hell because he's made a way for everybody to escape. And that is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But you're not going to heaven because you're a good old boy. Now, the ignorance of it. Nicodemus, Jesus said that you must be born again. Nicodemus was a rich man. Nicodemus was a wealthy man. Nicodemus was a religious man. Nicodemus, I'm going to tell you, could not understand the very simple fact that you need to be born again. Jesus Christ says you must be born from above. Nicodemus says, how can a man enter into the mother's womb the second time? He could not understand what I'm telling you here this morning. It's only by the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Word of God and the Spirit of God, that Nicodemus understood that he was lost and he needed to be saved, and the only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ told him some things that he could never know without Jesus Christ telling him. And I'm telling you here this day, there's things that you will never know, you will never understand. People that's lost will never know, and they'll never understand unless the Holy Spirit and the Word of God breaks through and lets them know that they are lost and they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. Do you all understand that? Today, the Holy Spirit, by the Word, can teach you. He can teach you, but you see, I cannot do what the Holy Spirit can do. I can just tell you the truth. Verse 7, it says, you know, if I go away, I will send a comfort to you, and it will be of your advantage today. We need to understand that the Holy Spirit reveals to us our sinful nature. He reveals to us the perfect Son of God, and he puts both of our nature and also against Jesus Christ, his nature of perfect, and you see your sins. Did you know the closer that you get to Jesus Christ, the more sinful that you know that you are? I'm going to tell you, you've been in a church for 40 years. I mean, you serve Jesus. You do everything that you know the Bible tells you to do. And did you know the closer you get to the Lord, the more sinful that you understand that you are? It looked like it'd be the other way around. But you see that all your sin and all your ugliness because in the Word of God. These three basic things here this morning, if I ever get into my message, the problem with sinners. Now, the basic problem of the sinner, the blood provision of the Savior, but then the broken power of Satan. These three things people need to understand. Like I said, I can preach the truth, but the Holy Spirit is the only one can impart the truth to you. And I asked you this day, do you understand about salvation? Do you understand about salvation? There's three basic things. It's about sin, it's about righteousness, and it's about judgment. 1 Corinthians 1 and 21 tells us, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. That's the lost person today. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, you see, we are saved by the Word of God. That is salvation, saved by the Word of God. 1 Peter 1 and 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That is salvation. The Word of God must be planted in your heart. Jesus Christ, the parable, the sower, he went out to sow, and he found four different types of soil he sowed the seed upon. There was only one good soil, and that one took roots and began to grow. That's salvation by the Word of God. You will not be saved apart from the Word of God. I tell you, they're going to be a great revival in our country, and if it is ever happen again in our country, in our church, our community, in your homes, or in your life, it's going to be on account of the Word of God. We have got away from the Word of God in the country that we live in here this day. We've got away from it from our churches today, and we've got away from it a lot of times in our family, in our community today. Get back to the Word of God. He's the one can help us. Not only that, we find it also sanctification. Sanctification, 1 Peter 1 and 22. 22. It says, seeing you have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto a sincere love of the brethren, see that you love one another with all your pure heart. That's sanctification. Now, we're scared of that word sanctification. Did you know what this morning, if you're saved, that you're being sanctified this morning? Sanctified, whenever you first got saved, you were set apart. Set apart for what? Become like Jesus Christ. Did you know the Holy Spirit of God is working on you every day from the time that you get saved into the time they throw dirt upon you? that you're becoming more like Jesus Christ. That's all the word sanctification means, becoming more like Jesus Christ in a process every day that we live on this earth and breathe God's air, that we're becoming more like Jesus Christ. Are you more like Jesus Christ than you was a year ago, 6 months ago, or 10 years ago? That's what sanctification is all about today. But not only that, we find out it's our substance. And that is in John 6 and 33 says, "For the bread of God is which cometh down from heaven, give us life unto this world." You see, it's the substance we live by is the bread of life of Jesus Christ. Remember Wednesday night I told you that what's happening to our country, what's happening to our homes, what's happening to our communities is the glory of God is departing. And I said one way to get this back is for us to review. Remember what God has done for you. Remember what God has done for this country and review the glory of God. But not only just review the glory of God, you need to reflect the glory of God. And then you see, return the glory of God. Because without the Word of God, there will be no revelation of God. And there will be no glory to our nation. There will be no glory to our church. This is a revelation of God. Now, the basic problem of the sinner. Now, mankind, they're lost. They're ignorant of their situation they're in. They do not know any better. A dog barks because it's the nature of a dog bark. A person is lost, they're a sinner, they sin because that's the nature of that person to sin. All I know to do was sin. But why is a man a sinner? Well, verse 8 and 9, as I just read, "And when he has come, he will reprove, he will convict this world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, because they believe not on me." Man's a sinner, basically, for three reasons. Now, listen, you need to tell somebody this. You need to understand, you need to witness and tell somebody about this, because there's three reasons, basically. One thing, because what man is. They are sinner because what he is. David said, "My mother did conceive me in sin." Now, he's seen to understand that his nature himself, the nature you was born with, was a fallen nature. Everybody come in this world with a fallen nature because of what he is. Ephesians 2 and 23 says, "Among whom also we all had a conversation time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of our flesh and in the minds, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." By nature, the children of wrath. Every one of us, we've done what we thought was right in our own mind. But you see, we did not understand our lost condition. People do not understand their lost condition. I'm going to tell you, we need to tell people, and they need to understand about their lost condition. I know that you've been up in the mountains, and up in the mountains they have these old log cabins. And a lot of them old log cabins have just old dirt floor. Dirt floor kept them warm. But can you imagine taking a mop and trying to scrub that old dirt floor, trying to make it clean? The more they scrubbed it, the dirtier it got. Well, that's the same thing that each and every one of us today without Jesus Christ. The more you try to scrub this old dirty soul that we have, the dirtier it becomes. People don't understand human nature. The world thinks a man's a sinner because of what he does. The world, most people think they're sinners because of what they do. You take a person on drugs, well, that's just no sinner. That's just no sinner because they use drugs. Or because they steal, because they lie, because they're murderers. That's not the truth. We do what we do because of what we are. We do what we do because of what we are. Also because of what we have done. Adam passed sin on to every one of us today. Romans 3 and 23 says, "We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." He passed it on each and every one of us today. Sin is a basic problem in our heart. This time of the year, it fixed to be springtime, and you know the flowers going to bud out, plums trees going to bud out, peach trees going to bud out, and you know what you have to do? You have to spray them to keep those worms out of them. Because if you don't, whenever those peaches or those plums gets mature, you go up there to get one of those peaches, and you see there's a wormhole in that peach. Well, don't worry. Go ahead and eat the peach because the worm's not in it. The worm don't grow into the peach. The worm was put there when that blossom was opened and that egg was laid in the middle of that heart of that blossom and closed back up. And that hole in that peach is let the worm out. But the same thing is with each and every one of us. The sin problem is with our heart. What we do comes out of our heart because it was already there to start with, just like that worm and that egg was laid in that blossom of that fruit tree. We have this problem in our heart all the time. Matthew 15 and 18 says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile man." They defile man. So it's basically because of what he is, what he has done. But then the third thing, a sinner because what he has not done. Now this is the most important part of it. A sinner because what he has not done. A sinner by nature, what he is, all right, is a sinner by choice, what he has done. But here is a sinner now because what he has not done, what they have not done. The greatest sin today is this sin of unbelief, what he has not done. Nobody understands this kind of sin apart from the Holy Spirit of God. That's the reason more people are not saved today. All agree with me now for the first point. All agree with me that a person could tell one lie. Now, a person can also, steal something, even if it's something small. You believe that point. But verse 8 and 9 that I read, he said, but when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness, because they believe not on me. Now, the sin of unbelief is the father, the mother, and the parent sin of all other sins that a person does. Everything that a person does. People say, yes, I have stole the nickel. Yes, I have told one little old lie. But would God really send anybody to hell for what I've done? Would God really send anybody to hell because you've done this? Because you know you've done something wrong. They're not nobody that don't understand they have sinned, but they just don't think they sinned big enough, or they don't think they've done enough for God to send them to hell. Well, it's not the big things. And it's not the little things. It's the one thing. The one thing that people are in hell for today is unbelief. Unbelief is the main sin of the day to understand that. I don't believe that God would do this. Well, I tell you, God says, I made a plan and a way from you. Punishment is not equal to the crime if he was to do this. But sin that will damn you is not lying, it's not stealing, it's not killing, but it's unbelief. It's the greatest sin. John 3:18 says, that most of us know that, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Buddy, it's not what they've done. It's because they have not believed. They are condemned because they have not believed. There's two families in the world, the family of Satan and the family of the Lord. You get in the Lord's family by a new birth. You was born into Satan's family by the natural birth. You have to be born again, as he told Nicodemus. Also, Hebrews 3:12 tells us, take heed, brother, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief is the sin out of which all other sin grows. Why man lies? Why do they mind lies? I told you before, you don't believe that God can get you out of this mess. Why does man steal? Because he don't believe that God will take care of him, and so on. Well, we see here this day, the courtroom can convict you. Conscience can convict you that you're wrong. But you see, the Holy Spirit is the only one that convicts you of unbelief, because you have not believed. Then the blood provision of the Savior. The blood provision of the Savior. In verse 10. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. The world thinks a man is a sinner mainly because of what he does. Look out upon this world today and you see people maybe down on Skid Road. You see people maybe drug addicts and not different things. You say, well, boy, that's a sinner. Because people think they're a sinner now because of what they do. And that's the way we look at things today. But you see, it's not because of that. Because if that person was to quit taking drugs and quit drinking alcohol and would be sober and still didn't get saved, that person would go to hell sober. That person would go to hell sober. It's not what a person does and when they quit doing that, because people think, man, I want to be righteous now. If I'm doing these things, I'm unrighteous. If I quit doing them, I'll be righteous. Yeah, that is not truth. That is an untruth today. You know, we'll shoot an old rabid dog. May not have bit nobody, but you want to shoot that rascal because what he's subject to do and capable of doing, he could bite somebody. So, we all have this nature in us. An old sawmill log, used to have an old sawmill log to cut slabs off of it. They run it down, they slab one side, they slab the other side. That old log might be crooked, and they got through with it, it'd be perfectly square. But you look at it hard, it might be way over on one side. That's the way we are. It's our heart is the problem. Our heart is the problem this day. Man, I tell you, it's not by what we do, because who we are and because of unbelief. He said, I go to my Father because of righteousness. No righteousness. Without Jesus Christ, it's a gift. He imputes righteousness to us. Isaiah 64:6, he says, but we are all unclean things, and all of our righteousness are filthy rags in the sight of God. Now, that's a mankind without Jesus Christ. That's you trying to make your righteousness. This people cannot understand this. They cannot understand being a good person, that they are lost and undone. They don't have any righteousness that God will accept. Not the first bit. It's a gift. The worst form of badness, O Agent Rogers says, is human goodness when it becomes a substitute of the new birth. When you think that you're good enough to go to heaven, the Bible says if you're in Christ, you are a new creation. But not only that, I'm going to tell you to start with A, the change. He changes what I am. By nature, I was a lost person. By nature, you was a lost person. He forgave what I'd done. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in light, he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ. Cleanse us from all sin. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they may be like crimson, they shall be like wool. Come, let us reason together. Our sins today, and to understand that. But not only that, he provides what we need. Blessed is that man to whom God imputes not sin, but God imputes righteousness. You see, I have been imputed with righteousness. Yeah, he added to my account. That's what he done for you. He took my sin off the account of me, and he put it on Jesus Christ. He put Jesus Christ's righteousness, and he put it on me. Did I deserve it? You think I was good enough a person to deserve it? Boy, it gets me when people think they can live good enough to go to heaven. It just gets to me worse than anything else. People think they can live good enough to get to heaven. Because you ask yourself this question right now. Do you think the best 15 minutes that you ever lived would grant you a door to heaven? The best 15 minutes you ever lived. No, sir, because you can't live even 15 minutes good enough to go to heaven, much less a lifetime. Because of what Christ has done for us, I am justified. But then Jesus Christ breaks the power of Satan for me. Amen. He breaks the power of Satan. Sin can't win and God cannot fail. Did you know it's all over? As far as God's concerned in his mind already, that Satan's already in a place called hell, in God's mind, it's already there. When God said it, it's good as done. You see, me and you today, no matter what this world throws at us, if you're saved, we can't fail. Whew. We can't fail. God Almighty is going to see to that. You think it's in ourselves? No, it's in God. God does that. Devil already have his destination. His judgment has already been passed. I'm glad that my judgment has already passed over. There are no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you what. You need to hear this message to everybody that you know of that needs Jesus Christ. There's no farmer walking back home one night, had an old lantern, and going to the railroad track, and the old railroad track, going along by the railroad track, and he seen there the trestle, and it was about half tore out. The water had washed it away. And Lord, he knew the train was coming. He heard the train, the rattling of the rails, and he began to run back towards the train as hard as he could. Well, he fell down and broke his lantern and cut his hand. He didn't have no way, but he kept on running towards the train. And he didn't have no way to stop the train, but he knew that if they run over that rail, they're going to be a lot of people killed. He kept running towards that train. He got right at that train and stepped out, and he just threw the lantern right into the face of the engineer. And the engineer said, my goodness, there must be something wrong. He's going to put on brakes. And he stopped just before they went over into the cliff. Saved a lot of lives. Did you know this morning what the Holy Spirit of God is doing to you? He's throwing up the ladder. He's throwing up the lantern. He's throwing up the cross of Jesus Christ in front of every one of you this day. Every one of us. He's throwing that. And right in our face. And you know what the problem is? The problem is with unbelief. And whenever we lift up Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you what, people understand they need to be saved. If there's a person in here, and you know, they believe about Jesus Christ. As we come to the song of invitation, they believe about Jesus Christ like I did. But I tell you, I never accepted Jesus Christ. You know what you need to do? You need to come forward this hour and get it right with the Lord. You need to come forward and get it right with the Lord. Any old person, any teenager sitting on the back row back there paying attention as they ought to be. This part of the service is very, very important. Anybody in here to understand the sincerity of what's going on here this morning? Without Jesus Christ, there's a place called hell. There's no reason why these seats cannot be filled up if we'll tell people about Jesus Christ. More people be saved if they know that they're lost. And I tell you, we have a Savior right now that's willing. He's willing to do anything he can to save that one person. You need to get a minute with the Lord this morning as we sing our hymn this day.